So for those of you who have just joined us on the recording, our key verses that we are addressing is Mark 16, 14 to 20. And particularly we're looking at these signs will accompany those who believe, verse 17. It is a promise. It's a promise that we should see the reality of in our lives. And the reason that I'm preaching this series is because I personally don't see that reality in my life. I don't see signs and wonders accompany me as they should. And I believe as a church we don't see signs and wonders accompany our lives. We see pockets of it here and there. But as a church, each of us should be seeing these signs and wonders as we believe. And one of the things that I've been emphasizing over the last couple of weeks, it's not about us, it's all about what Jesus has already done. And it's about those, for those who believe. Here I am emphasizing it again. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Now this is a very good passage that illustrates what I'm trying to tell you, that it's not about self-belief, it's not about anything that we have, that we bring when we minister to people. Because there was that lame man at the temple gate, and he's looking James and John, is it? Peter and John, to give them something. And Peter says, "I don't have anything. I do not have anything of my own resources that can make you better. I don't have anything of my own resources that can make a change in your life. I don't have money that can buy a difference. But I tell you what I do have. I have the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead residing in me. And I tell you that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is going to make a difference in your life. Because right now, he wants to overflow from my life and touch you and make a difference in your life. I don't have anything, but I do have Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And it's a reminder to us, isn't it, that when we come to pray for people, it is nothing to do with us. We've got nothing. We have absolutely nothing. But what we do have is Jesus Christ living inside of us by the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And we just got to get a reality or get our eyes open to that. We got to have a spiritual check and say, hey, yes, this is truth. This is reality. And this is what Paul was praying in that Ephesians 1 scripture. I pray that your eyes might be opened and that you would understand the reality of the power that lives and resides in you, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter understood it. I don't have silver and gold. I don't have anything. But I'll tell you something. I've got Jesus. And Jesus is enough. So it's not about what you have done or what you can do, but about everything that Jesus already has done. It's not self-belief, but it's belief in Jesus. So, there's my reiteration of that point again. No doubt I'll come up with some other illustration next week. But what we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks is hearing from God. How important it is to hear God's voice. Because if we're going to minister to people, we've got to know who to minister to, what to minister to, what to minister, and when to minister. Often people say to me, they said, "Hey, Ian, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but really in reality, when I meet somebody in the street, how do I know whether it's them that I should be praying for? How do I know that it's them that I've got to go for it? You know, how do I know that it's God that wants me to say something to them? How do I know what to say? So, having an ear to hear is important. So tonight I want just to recap very quickly on what we've looked at in the last couple of weeks, and then consider some helps to hearing from God. How can we hear from God? How do we know that we're hearing God? How can we put ourselves in a position where we can hear God clearer? So that's what we're going to look at. And we're going to just refer to a passage that we sort of hinted at last week. It's 1 Samuel 3, 1 to 8. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There weren't many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call you, go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you, go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. And one of the things that we have said is that God is always wanting to speak to us. He's always got something to say. Throughout the scripture, there are various scriptures that highlight this. Deuteronomy 5:1, "Hear, O Lord, the statutes and judgments which I speak into your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep them and do them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord is one. Hear, O Israel, the word which the Lord speaks unto you." And God is wanting to say something good to us, and something to bless us. You know, so often people think that God has only got something nasty to say to us. God is only going to have some word of reprimand. God is only going to have some word of judgment. But God has a word of blessing. God has words that he wants to speak into our lives that will do us good and build us up. If you look at these two scriptures here, "Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you." Do you see God's heart? He's wanting to bless. He's wanting the best for us. "Incline your ear and come unto me, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Sure mercies." God is wanting to bless us and show us his mercies and show us his grace and show us his love. God is wanting to do us good. And therefore, it is the best news in the world to hear God's voice. And really, we should be hungry and eager to hear God's voice, because God has got something good to say. God is wanting to bless us and build us up so that his blessing can abound. So here are some helps to hearing from God that I've identified from this little passage with Samuel and Eli. Number one that I've put down is stay close to God, or be close. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. So in the temple, the lamp was a light showing the presence of God was there, and the Ark of the Covenant in Old Testament times, particularly at this time in history, it was synonymous with the presence of God. This is where God was. So where was Samuel? He was lying down next to the Ark of the Covenant, so he was close to God. All right, so the point that I want to make here is that if we want to hear God's voice, we need to be close to him. If you want to hear the television because it's not on too loud and you don't want to miss any word, and there's a lot of noise going on in the background, what do? You pull your chair close so that you can hear. When you want to hear what somebody's talking, you listen very carefully and you come close to them. If I wanted a conversation with Rebecca, I would speak to her face to face, quite like this. I wouldn't speak to her when she was stood at the other side of the room. Why would that be? Because I wanted to hear what she was saying. And so when you want to hear God's voice, one of the ways you can guarantee that you're going to hear it more clearly is if you're close to him. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, one of the ways that we can be close to him, let's make sure I'm not missing anything that I've written down. Oh, yes, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's a good scripture, isn't it? But where do we find God speaking? Where can we be close to God so that we can hear his voice? Well, the Word of God, the Bible. If you want to hear God speak to him, one of the ways that God will speak to you is through his word. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And so one of the best ways that you can say, well, I'm not hearing much from God, I'm finding it difficult to hear God's voice. One of the ways that you can find it easier to hear God's voice, this is a help to hearing him, is to sit down quietly with your Bible and read it and expect God to speak to you through it. And I was looking on Bible Gateway. Bible Gateway is the online website where there are actually 56 different versions of the English Bible that you can read. All right, so you might say to yourself, well, actually, I don't like the King James. Well, find the New International Version. Don't like the New International Version. Well, find another version. There's the Voice, which is a nice little translation, actually. It's very conversational in style and very explanatory in style as well, because at the beginning of each paragraph of the or each story in the Bible, there's a little explanation beforehand. So it's very, very good. There is the BRG Bible. I've got a quote from the BRG Bible in a moment or two. And I thought to myself, whatever's the BRG Bible? You know, I never heard of that. And it's one that's only available online. And it's the words of God are in blue. The words of Jesus are in red. And any names of the Holy Spirit are in gold. All right. So there's lots of helps on the scripture, on the internet. There's Bibles galore that you can buy and read. And God will speak to you through them. So I want to encourage you, you know, one way of drawing close to God is sitting down with your Bible and expecting God to speak to you through that. It's an interesting exercise to do. God will encourage you. God will bless you as you do that. All right, yes. So the Bible is very important and is important. Benjamin Netanyahu, you know, who is the Israeli Prime Minister. He was speaking at the United Nations this week. And I think it was, I don't know whether it was Liz or whether it was you, Ruth, who put something on Facebook, which was a link to Benjamin Netanyahu's speech at the United Nations. And it was an interesting little speech, and I actually sort of read the text of it. And it was quite amusing because he's quite sarcastic or tongue-in-cheek, perhaps, is Benjamin Netanyahu. And he was ridiculing a UNESCO report, a UN report that had sort of rewritten the history of Israel. And he was sort of ridiculing this UNESCO report, saying it really wasn't worth the paper that it was written upon, and it was just lightweight research. And see if I can get the quote right here. He said this, but if you want to find out about the history of Israel, you can read about it in that somewhat weightier publication. It's called The Bible. I highly recommend it. I hear it even got 4.5 out of 5 stars on Amazon. And it's a great read. I read it every week. The Holy Spirit will speak to us as we read his word, as we listen to his word. Faith comes by, what do we got? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So another place where we can hear God's word is here at church. You know, draw close to God and we'll be encouraged. Right, I tell you the truth, in Christ I'm not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. And just a reminder here that God speaks to our hearts, if you like. He bears witness to our conscience, to our spirits. It's not that God is going to speak in an audible voice or a thunderbolt or an earthquake, but to our spirits, speaking to our consciences. 99.99% of that he speaks to us. But also, we need to be eager to listen. Verse 10 of the passage that we were referring to with Samuel, we didn't read this, but then the Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." We need to be eager to listen. You see, because if we're not listening or we're not interested in listening, we won't speak. But God is, we won't hear if we're not eager to listen. And one of the things that I want to encourage you to do is that when you sit down with your Bible, "Lord, speak to me. What have you got to say to me? What word have you got to encourage me? Is there anything that you're going to bring to my mind? Is there anybody?" And then as you're sitting down and you're praying, "Is there anybody that you want me to pray for, particularly today?" And then he might bring somebody to mind and he might prompt you to ring them up. And even when you're speaking with somebody, when you're speaking or talking with somebody, having a cup of coffee, when you're speaking with somebody at the school gate, when you're speaking with somebody at the queue at the co-op, when you're speaking with somebody at the queue at Morrison's or wherever you do your supermarket shopping, wherever you might be, where there is the opportunity to speak to somebody, always have an ear to hear. "God, do you want me to say anything to this person? Is there something that you want me to say that will be an encouragement, that will be a word to them, even though I might not appreciate it's a word to them?" We need to have our spiritual antenna up so that we hear his voice. How do I know that it's God speaking to me? Well, one of the filters that we can check whether it's God that's speaking to us is that God will never say anything to us that is contrary to his word. So God will never ask us to tell a white lie to smooth over things. Often people might say to me, "Well, Ian, I told a little white lie because I thought that that would just help the situation and smooth things over and make everything all right. I thought that was what God was asking me to do." Well, actually, God is never going to ask you to lie. God isn't going to ask you to run off with a woman down the road with your next door neighbour. God isn't going to ask you to do anything that is contrary to his word. So, we often say, we can check it by, does it contravene God's word? Is this word going to encourage someone? Because God is always a God of encouragement. Is it going to build them up? Because God is wanting to build them up. Is it going to tear them down? Or is it going to encourage them? Because God always wants to encourage them. So God is never going to have a word that's going to rip somebody apart and heap condemnation upon them, because there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So that's one filter that you can apply to make sure that that it's God speaking to you. John 10:10 says this: "The thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. I have come that they have life and have life to the full." Because whenever God speaks, he will be speaking life. He will be speaking encouragement. It is the enemy that comes to steal and destroy. It is the enemy that comes to take away. It is the enemy that comes to bring devastation into people's life. But God always has something that speaks life, that speaks a solution, that speaks hope, that speaks encouragement into a situation. So that's one way that we can say, "Well, Lord, I'm hearing this. Do you think this is this from you? Is it going to encourage somebody? Is it going to bless somebody?" So even if it's ring somebody up, well, that's going to be an encouragement to them, I'm sure. Okay. Helps to hearing from God. Be aware of other prompts. So I think I told you the story the other week about how I felt that I needed to go and pray with somebody at the hospital. And I got that prompt. And then a week later, I got another prompt. And then I got another prompt. And then somebody else rang me up the following afternoon and said, "Don't you think it would be good if you went to visit so-and-so?" So there was multiple prompts. God, you must be saying something. God, you must be wanting me to go. You know, sometimes you think, did I really hear that voice? And God says again. And you say, did he you really want me to go? And God says again. Do you want me to really go? And God says again. That's one of the good things about this story of Eli, is that God says again and again and again. So be aware of other prompts. One question that I often get asked is, how do I know whether someone is the person that I need to speak to? Well, is the someone that I need to talk to? Well, ask yourself the question, are they eager to receive? Are they ready to receive? Now, in everyday life, we get this, don't we? We can be going somewhere, we can be sat on a bus or a coach or on a trip going somewhere. Somebody was telling me the story this morning about how, could I say, Alan, about your trip? Yeah, you had a trip, didn't you, earlier on in the week to Friday? Somebody was driving you over to Sheffield and you tried to have a conversation with him. But you tried and you tried and you tried and he wasn't having it, was he? And sometimes you can speak to somebody and you say, "Oh, it's a nice day, isn't it?" And they say, "Well." There was somebody in the cafe yesterday I was trying to have a conversation with. I said, "What are you doing today?" He says, "Well, this and that. Might be going out tonight." "Where are you going out tonight?" "Don't know." "Somewhere." I thought, oh, yeah, you know that that's not a conversation that person wants to have. But sometimes people are hungry for the word. People are hungry for a touch of God. And we need to be there to meet that need. So I've got a scripture here. Oh, yes. Peter looked straight at him, and as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. I believe this man was expecting, you see. I reckon. And so a lot of people actually say, oh, this is an example how the fact that Jesus didn't heal all the time, because Jesus must have walked past that man loads and loads of times but never healed him on those previous occasions. That proves that Jesus doesn't want to heal every time. Well, the difference here is that that man wanted to receive. He was expecting. And the reason why Peter and John stopped on this occasion, I believe, is because they saw that he was ready to receive. And when he was ready to receive, they said, "Get up and walk." It is nigh on impossible to minister to somebody who doesn't want to receive. As Alan found out, as he tried to have a conversation with a fellow that was driving him somewhere on Thursday, it's nigh on impossible to have a conversation with somebody who doesn't want to have a conversation. And you cannot minister to people, you cannot encourage people, you cannot bless them and speak into their lives and speak healing over them if they don't want it. But if you see that they are eager, you know that's a prompt to go for it. So here's another scripture that illustrates this point. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him and saw that he had the faith to be healed and called, stand up on your feet. At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When Paul was preaching, he saw that somebody was expecting to receive. They were hungry to receive. Now, again, you know, you might say to yourself, he saw that he had faith to be healed. Here was Paul preaching, and he saw that the man had faith to be healed. Now, what do you say here is how did Paul know that he had the faith to be healed? Well, as a preacher, I suppose I could say, I'm glad that no one's nodding off now. but when you see people out in the congregation, and perhaps if you're preaching an evangelistic message and you know that you're going to call for people to raise their hands in response to salvation, as a preacher, you know the people who are going to put their hands up before you make that call. Because they're sat on the edge of their seats, and they're sat on the edge and hanging on every word that you're saying. So I reckon that Paul saw that this man was really hungry for what God wanted to give him. He was hungry to receive. And I believe that one of the ways that is a prompt for us to be speaking to somebody is to know, are they hungry to receive? Are they eager to receive? Because we looked at this scripture the other week about the parable of the sower, didn't we? Where the I've jumped a page. Sorry, we'll get to the parable of the sower in a minute. But there we go. Let's put this scripture up first. Jesus now called the 12 and gave them authority and power to deal with all the demons and cure diseases. He commissioned them to preach the good news of God's kingdom and heal the sick. He said, "Don't load yourselves up with equipment. Keep it simple. Keep it simple, you are the equipment. If you're not welcomed, leave town. Don't make a scene, shrug your shoulders, move on." That is an illustration that Jesus was telling his disciples, only talk to those people that are interested. Don't waste your time with people that don't want to listen. But if you sense that they want to listen, you go for it. So that's a prompt to know whether you're the person to speak to. Okay, now we get to the... if you're not welcome, move on. And now we get to that bit about the parable of the sower. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. There are some people who will be like that good soil. There will be some hard-hearted people who don't want to hear. You can preach all you like and they'll just be stubborn and won't want to hear. Jesus says, move on. Look for the people that are hungry for God, that are receptive to the seed that you want to plant, to the seed of God's word that God is going to give you to plant into their heart. Okay, good. And see, we've already hinted on this as well, but be aware of repeats. Because God will speak to you again and again. Listen for the confirmation. It's good how God confirms his word to us, isn't it? He speaks to us and sometimes we don't hear clearly. We say, well, is it really God? I wonder what that means or whatever. But then God will speak again and confirm it. And God will. God is gracious. God is loving. And so when you say to yourself, oh, I don't know whether I've heard from God, well, listen again, because God is gracious and he will speak to your heart and confirm it. I'm going to conclude tonight with a testimony from our Nathan. Dun, 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 dun. Come on then, Nathan. And this, hopefully this testimony is going to be how God said something and you were thinking, oh, that's interesting, that's very nice. But then God confirms it and just is really sort of encouraging you with something and speaking into your heart. So this is just an example of a repeat. Okay, you going to go for it?
Yeah. So about a week ago, just over a week ago, I had another seizure. So my parents sent out an email to their home church asking people to pray for me because this year especially has been really bad in terms of my epilepsy. And as we went to church last Sunday, a lady came up to them and gave them a word for me and told them that in terms of praying for the healing, we need to be praying into the wiring of the brain, making those connections. So I came back home last Sunday. My parents told me this and I thought, okay, that's nice. not really sure what to make of it. But then, as we were praying on Tuesday at home group, Mr. Chris prayed the same thing, completely unaware of the words that had been spoken over me earlier in the week. So it was a repetition, and it really confirmed what God had been saying.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's a good testimony, you know. And sometimes we heap condemnation on ourselves. I'm not saying that this is true in Nathan's case, but sometimes we say, oh Lord, we've missed it. I'm not very good at this. I've missed it. Well, I'm pleased that God is so gracious that he speaks again and again and again until we've got it. And I'm thankful to God that, you know, with me and Wendy, for example, when I knew that I had to go to her, he was gracious enough to keep her alive until he had asked me to do what I needed to do. And, you know, I responded eventually. He was gracious enough to keep telling me and keep nagging me and nagging in the correct way, in a nice way, you know. And that's a blessing. And with Nathan, what a blessing it is that, you know, he spoke through that lady at the church and he confirmed that word. What an encouragement that is. And so you might be saying to yourself, this is where I'm going to conclude now, you know, I'm not sure that I've heard from God. Well, listen out for the confirmation. Listen again. If you're not sure, God is so gracious with you. You know, he's not going to say, well, you should have been listening more carefully and you'd have heard. It's not like that. He's gracious enough to repeat, like he did with Samuel. He called the once and he didn't hear clearly. He called the twice and he didn't hear clearly. He called three times and he didn't hear clearly. And he called again and then he heard.